Usually once we get started, the only thing I edit out are pauses.
Sure.
Huh. So
pauses and whenever he decides that what I said.
And whenever I say, can we delete that?
No,
leaves it in.
I'm trying to make sure to leave it in.
Yeah. I make it louder.
Right.
Can we emphasize?
One more time for the people in the back.
I do a voiceover like, I just want to make sure you got that.
But he Elise said a dumb thing.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazra. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Excellent. And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Yeah, it hasn't happened in this last week?
Hasn't happened. No.
Ridiculous.
Working on it. Yeah. Working as hard as I can.
Sure.
I'm not. That's a lie.
Working 9 to 5.
Yeah. Yep. So this is a lovely April day we're recording here. Everything good in our respective lives?
All gravy under the boat.
No.
No.
The RV park hot tub is broken.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's probably a good thing. I'm going to say
much
that.
Much tragedy.
That is not even a blessing in disguise. That is a blessing. Right. Wearing that blushing hat, right. Very obviously.
Now I won't get Legionnaire's disease. So sure. That.
Legion or Legion. Either one of them.
Right.
Yes, either Legionnaire's disease or a demon. One of those two things is coming to you from that hot tub.
No, I don't remember. Did that get left in the previous episode, or did we cut all that out?
I probably cut it all out.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Well, that was a callback to something people may never have heard.
Missed a right. Treat.
That's right.
Yes. Well, today we're going to talk about, well, obviously faith.
Ah, that's a good thing.
And vaccine.
Ooh.
COVID vaccine.
How are you doing? Like, not just Hep A or
the
typhoid.
The one in all the news smallpox. Right now. I mean, this is probably...
Tdap.
Could be anything, but... The COVID vaccine is the new one, so everybody's talking about it.
It's all the rage. Yes. It's the new bell of the ball.
Speaking of which, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Are you post-second dose?
Oh, is that what we're talking
about? Yeah.
I just thought this was like a general...
Oh, speaking of which...
Yeah, no, I'm 48 hours out. I'm feeling great.
Huh. Excellent, yes.
What do they call it? Pfizer plus two. Because I'm 2 days out.
Ooh, fancy.
But you gotta get to plus 2 weeks. That's the
I am 2 weeks out from my Pfizer.
Okay.
But the weekend after my second dose was pretty rough. So
yeah. The day after mine was not. I was pretty cool. That's good. You know, I'm in general tougher than Patrick.
Oh, so your constitution.
My constitution is way higher than Patrick's.
That's a D&D joke.
I don't need you to roll for that. I get my second dose on Monday.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Day the podcast is released.
That's right.
So not a day of recording.
So it's time of release.
Will you be listening to the podcast while you sit in line to get your... Because you could be like listening to this very moment while you get your shot. That'd be kind of meta.
Yeah. I might actually do that. I do listen to our podcast. Yeah. So
I do too. Does Patrick not?
I do. I edit it. Yes.
Do you listen to it after it comes out? Because that's the only time it actually affects
I usually
our listener
don't.
Numbers.
I'm pretty sure it's our spouses and our loved ones that do not listen to it.
My wife listens.
My parents listen.
Yeah. There you go.
Shout out to the Bowsers.
All right. Listens. Before we get to our vaccines, I've got some news.
Oh.
From here in Houston. And yes, Domino's Pizza. Are you familiar?
Yeah,
I have heard of it.
I could not find any Long John Silver news. I did look though.
That's all right. Domino's is like the Long John Silvers of the pizza world.
It kind of is. Right. It really kind of.
Long John Silvers is a front, so it's trying to stay out of the news.
Domino's to launch robotic pizza delivery service in Houston.
Oh,
robotic like automated car delivery? Or
yes.
Okay. Oh.
I was hoping an actual robot would deliver.
Well, it's got to get the car to your front door.
It's a robot.
It's like a Roomba that drives up.
Yes, and it cleans the road as it goes. And it kind of goes and it gets caught underneath the table and just bounces off between chairs. It
bounces from house to house as it brings your pizza.
Yes. Domino's Pizza and Nuro, a Silicon Valley startup, launched a robotic pizza service here in Houston. Small, low-speed vehicles carry packages instead of people. That's what Nuro invents. And now it's delivering pizzas. Through one location, only one, here in Houston to start.
Which location and how far do we have to travel in order to have it delivered to us?
I believe it is in Houston proper.
Okay.
That's not that far. Okay. That's fine.
We've
we
got
can
friends
do that.
Down there.
Yeah.
I've got street corners down there. It's fine.
Well, say more about that.
Yeah, that's shitty.
I know like where streets meet. There are corners that you could order a pizza from.
Well, let's just move past this, okay?
Oh, no, that's not...
Yeah, there we go. We got it. So, So how do you feel? Would you want a robot to deliver your pizza?
I mean, I don't have to interact with a human, so sure, that's fine with me.
That's true.
Absolutely.
I know, I love it.
Do I have to tip a robot?
That's a good question. I do love it when the Uber Eats driver just leaves it on my doorstep and just leaves.
That's been a great invention of the COVID reality.
Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, the robot definitely is not going to be eating part of your pizza. Not going to be picking off a pepperoni.
It's not going to spit in it.
But if they, like, specially trained the robot to pick off your pepperoni so you still got that full delivery experience.
Yeah, so, yeah, so can the robot smell? What were you saying here? Do you have to tip a robot? That is a good question. Should you tip a robot?
Because, I mean, that's the scam behind delivery fees is that people forget you're still supposed to tip on top of delivery fees.
Right.
Because the delivery fee does not cover the tip of the driver.
Yeah, I don't have that
to be clear.
I always tip my delivery driver.
That's why you should, but people get fooled by
it. I'm more confused on the pick up food tip fee.
That's a very good question.
Should I tip then? I don't know.
I don't tip in a fast food restaurant. Like if I drive through, you know, whatever, Wendy's, McDonald's, Long John Silver's, if you will, to bring it full circle. If I drive through,
I'd tip them.
I don't tip there. So if I walk into your restaurant, pick up my food, and walk out, I typically do not tip. But maybe that makes me a horrible person. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I have started tipping, like, in those instances in COVID times. I've started tipping on those.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because, you know, pandemics and paying it forward for others.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked a minimum wage job that was really tip dependent out of school. And so because of that experience, I almost always tip, regardless of whether it's counter service or a table service. But
I'm a really good tipper, not to brag, but I'm a really good tipper when, like, people are serving me.
Yeah.
Okay. When people are, like, waiting on my table and stuff like that, I just don't know the protocol.
Yeah, and that,
I just want there to be a standard. I want us to all say, this is it. This is the deal.
Right.
This is when you're supposed to tip.
Is it always 15% minimum or what? You know, like,
for me,
yeah,
you start at 20.
Well, I agree.
And you gotta work really hard to lose that 20.
I agree.
I also round up because math is hard. So.
I
have no idea what I'm tipping. I'm like, here's $20. Like,
is this good? I don't
my
know,
husband
probably.
Is like, you just bought a banana.
All right. So the robot is called an R2 robot.
Excellent.
Which makes me more inclined to different things. Here, I'll show you a picture. That's what it looks like.
It does not look like R2 at all. Listeners, be disappointed. Prepare
it's
to
white.
Be disappointed.
It's cute.
It's cute. It's
will,
cute.
Yeah.
Will I have to walk to this robot to get my pizza?
Yes. Like it pulls up in front of your house. You walk there. You type
like
in
conks
a,
at you.
You type in a code. Like, it probably texts you. You type in a code. And it opens up one of its bay doors, and your pizza will be there.
So it's like the red box of pizza delivery. So it just, like, spits out your pizza.
Yeah.
That's great.
I like that a lot.
Let me tell you, I would definitely do this if that robot, if R2 robot here was also an oven, and they just put the pizza in there.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
And it cooked on the way to coming to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, super cool.
And it gets there, and it's done, and you just take it out, and it's, like, hot and steamy.
Domino's had those oven cars for a while. Do they still have those where it's, like, keeping your pizza hot? It's not cooking it, but it's, like, keeping your pizza hot as they drive. Like,
isn't that the bag?
No, it's, like, an actual oven, not, like, just an insulated bag.
It's gotta be uncomfortable to drive.
Sure would be.
It's not like the entire car is an oven.
They just tell their drivers you can't use AC.
Right.
Like, it's an oven car.
Keep the windows rolled up.
It's good to get that smelly teenage driver. So, you know, that,
this was in a commercial a long time ago. This is a thing. I don't know.
My neighborhood has the Domino's delivers on bikes. So.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun, too.
That is kind of fun, yeah.
Like
Domino's also used to
delivery.
Do the 30 minutes or less guarantee, but then all their drivers started getting in accidents, so we decided that was probably not a good idea.
I want this robot to come 30 minutes or less.
I just want a robot to come at all. I'll let it be slow.
I know. I'm pro-robot. I think it's really fun. This is not the news story, but this was a couple years ago. This, like, MIT made a hitchhiking robot and sent it across Canada, and it made it all the way across. Like, you would drive the robot down the road and, like, drop it off, and somebody else would come and see the robot and pick it up, and it went all the way across Canada. They're like, let's do this in America.
No, not going to work at all.
Yeah.
It made it to Pittsburgh and then was beaten to death.
I'm shocked that it made it as far as Pittsburgh. Where did they start?
I think they started in New York.
I'm surprised they made it as far as Pittsburgh. That's a long way to go. I'm not at all surprised that it made it across Canada, though.
Oh, the hitchhiking robots. Pour one out for him.
Somebody said, look at this little nerd.
Yes.
Started hitting
right.
it.
You need to die.
Yeah, we're going to do really well when the robot... take over.
I know. When the robot overlords finally rule. Look, mm-hmm. I'm pro-robot. Okay?
Right.
They're going to be pro.
I own a Roomba. Maybe I shouldn't say own a Roomba. A Roomba lives in my house.
Right.
You know, like,
I provide for
a
Roomba.
I share my space with a Roomba.
Yes. I give it free room.
Right.
Bah.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our main topic.
Let's do it.
Vaccinations. Okay. Boop, boop. So we've been talking about this, and I read this on BioLogos, which is a Christian / science periodical. So not, they're not Christian Science.
So instead of, I just got this now, because BioLogos is kind of like mixing up the letters of biology. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, logos is the word, which, yeah, yes. Okay. I got that it was like bio word, but like it just doesn't rhyme at all. It doesn't make. But now
stupid
it's like
name, yeah.
mixing up biology. Now I get it. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, and I'm on board. So they deal with the issues of faith from a science perspective. So
okay.
And the question,
not
the topic,
to be confused with Scientology.
Right.
Not Scientology. Not do that. Right. Not, just to be clear,
I'm gonna say, not science, not Christians. Sorry. Should Christians get vaccinated?
All right.
This is the question, and we have all. Fully vaxxed or partly are almost there. Yeah. As
some of us.
As the
working on it as fast as I can, okay?
You've had the first shot. So
I have,
you're getting there. So.
I was throwing her shade and she was, responding appropriately. That's fine.
But statistically, mm-hmm. the group in America that is least likely to accept the COVID vaccine are white Protestants.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So. Leading the pack again.
Yep.
Yeah. Going in, I maybe you might have expected maybe black America because of their issues with like the Tuskegee experiments and maybe a
deep distrust of the medical establishment for very good reasons.
Yeah, right. and not inappropriate distrust.
No, not at all. Right.
But white Protestant Christians are the most likely to not get vaccinated. So that's interesting, right? So this will kind of go with this, but right here we're gonna say any reasons why you think white Protestants would be the least likely to.
Do we want to start with rational reasons, or do we want to start with like
what I think
crazy
the real
town?
Reason is?
Yeah. Whichever reason you want to go with,
It's the mark of the beast. That's my favorite.
I think my reason is we think we know better.
Okay,
not fun. That's like legitimate.
I think that's the real reason. But let's talk about the mark of the beast.
No, I mean,
has your arm been glowing in the dark?
There's nothing
since
to talk
you
about
your...
with the mark of the beast. It's, I mean,
right.
A, it's not what Revelation meant. B,
yeah, lay it out for us, Pastor.
I'm just saying. It's not what Revelation meant. The Mark of the Beast is not what we think it is, and this is definitely not it. It's a vaccination.
Sure.
It's not.
One more time for the people in the back.
This is not it. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I'm super disappointed that my arm's not glowing, actually.
I know. My Wi-Fi signal hasn't been boosted. I don't have, like, a telepathic link with Putin.
I know.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah. It's funny. After I got my second dose, I sent... text out to my friends because I found this image online and I said, oh, I think I'm getting a rash. And I sent this image of a guy's shoulder that has a Bill Gates tattoo on it. And I said,
that's
that,
very funny.
Yes, thank you. I'm having a reaction here.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine. Yep, no, I think at least let's go back to your legitimate reason and say that again.
Oh, okay. I think the real reason that white Protestant Christians are not getting the vaccine is because we think we know better.
Okay, let's expand on that. What do you mean by that?
All right, what do you guys think about it?
You just brought it to the table.
That's right.
And now let us.
And I'm going to drop it.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's this attitude of like, oh, well, we haven't done enough testing on this. We don't, we're all armchair epidemiologists. I would say the majority of white Christian Protestants are at least somewhat educated, and I think we're just educated enough to think that we know a lot of things that we do not actually know.
Yes.
By
or we
large.
Have enough fear of education that we...
Yeah.
Right, right.
I like that phrase. Like, we're educated enough.
Right.
You know, that, and I think that's probably a good place to probably put maybe a lot of our questions about the world. We know a base knowledge and assume that translates to a professional knowledge.
Right. We know just enough to think we're all geniuses,
yeah.
I think.
So, yeah, I think that is a good question. Like, has this been fully tested? I've heard that from friends, and I think that's a reasonable question. I think the vaccination community definitely said yes.
Yes. Yeah. The medical community said yes. Yes.
But at the same time, I think when it comes to many issues, I have questions about how pharmaceutical companies are run and how they are... taking care of customers, especially with like high prices of insulin or life-saving medication that seems for profit. So it does seem like I understand questions about medical communities. I get it. But I think that is this safe may come from that I know enough and I've seen enough online to throw that into question. Whether it's grounded in reality is another question. All right. You know, there are other ethical reasons that we're actually going to get into a little bit later. So those are some of the reasons we've seen Christians should not get vaccinated. The last one I may have is everything in our world is pretty politicized right now.
Yeah.
And for some Christians, the vaccine is, in a sense, coming to fruition under a Democrat president, and that changes things. Yeah. You know,
even though it was all approved under a Republican president.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And again, maybe if the shoe's on the other foot, if President Trump was reelected and he was touting the wonders of this vaccine, there might be more liberal parts of our country that say, like, I don't know about this. Is this just a rush job? You know, so like, I can definitely admit there's definitely some politicism of everything, including this vaccine.
So. Before we get into the article, or at least too far into the article, I think the other thing that we want to consider is just where our faith in God comes into this factor. And maybe we're going to hit some of this. But, you know, I hear people talking all the time about, like, Psalm 121, right? Where is my help going to come from? My help comes from the Lord. And those sorts of verses that say, well, I don't need a vaccine to protect me because God is going to protect me, right? Sure. God is always going to be my strength. And so if I'm getting a vaccine, it's a sign that I'm not trusting God to take care of me and to protect me. And that is not how I interpret that verse or how I interpret those verses about God being our strength or our refuge or our rock or our fortress, whatever, you know, we might have there. But I think that's a piece of it as well, that we look towards Scripture and think, oh, well, God's going to protect me from all these things. And so if I do anything to hinder God's ability to protect me, if I use any earthly device to hinder God's ability to protect me, then I'm disobeying God or I'm not being faithful to God.
No, let's jump into that.
I want to know how you do interpret it.
Yeah, let's get into that right now.
Okay, well, now I'm not sure what the question is. How do you interpret
those types of scriptures?
Yeah, so one, I think it's worth realizing that God is at work throughout the world. And so, you know, there's this great story of the guy who's going to be in a flood, right? And somebody comes by in a truck and says, hey, you know, get into the boat or get into the truck. I'm going to save you, right? And the guy's like, no, I pray. God's going to save me. Water gets higher. Guy gets, you know, up onto a second story window and somebody comes by in a boat this time and say, buddy, get in the boat. I'm like, no, I pray. God's going to save me. Same thing happens on the roof. Helicopter comes by. No, God's going to save me. Guy drowns, ends up in heaven. God says, you know, what's going on? And God's like, why didn't you save me? God, I prayed. Mm-hmm. And God's like, I sent you a boat. I sent you a truck. Like, why are you doing here? Right. And so I think that we have to be aware of those ways in which God is protecting us through the things that are available and the resources that are available to us in the world. Right. I don't think it's nothing that we have medications that can protect against malaria now makes that much less, or HIV AIDS, right? Mm-hmm. That we have medications that make that much more livable and manageable in many ways. I don't think it's anti-God that we have cancer treatments or that we have surgeries that allow people to live long, right? Science is not in opposition to the work of God. Sometimes God works through the hands of scientists, doctors, the medical community to provide ways that offer us that protection. And that's an okay thing. And we can take faith in that as well.
And I think that, so, you know, the church can do a better job of celebrating that vocational ministry of the medical community and what they're doing that is the works and hands of God. Look, in all honesty, if it's like, hey, Patrick, Elise, David, you're members of a church, you're reasonably well-educated and smart people, come up with a plan to combat coronavirus, we'd be like, okay, we got nothing. I mean, like, really, like, you could lock me in a room with every scientific, you know, device imaginable and all the materials to create a vaccine. I could never do it.
Right.
And so I do want to celebrate that there are people in this world whose drive, passion, and brain pattern gets them there. Like, that does get them to those places where they're thinking of how can this be fixed and solved, and celebrate the work of God in the midst of that. Yeah. Whether they're Christian or not is somewhat irrelevant in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I didn't ask the person who delivered my son, what do you think about Jesus and where do you go to church? Mm-hmm. You know, I trusted their medical education to keep him safe and my wife safe during that process.
Yeah.
And that is acknowledging my help is coming from the Lord in those things. Because I'm trusting the Lord's guidance in our medical community.
Yeah. And we have ample evidence in the scripture that God works through people who are not part of the covenant community or who do not necessarily proclaim to be believers of God, right? I mean, God works through foreign kings to bring about Israel's restoration as they come back. Mm-hmm. God works through different foreign leaders and different people of other backgrounds. That this happens all the time. And mm-hmm. so this is not, it's not outlandish to think, hey, God can work through people who don't show up to church on Sunday morning. Like that's right.
Yeah,
that's part of the story. God works through whatever God works needs to work through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Before we kind of move into some of these other questions, any other thoughts on faith, on why this maybe this misplaced faith in God can be a hindrance, not just in vaccine, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. in life in general?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I mean, for me, and I don't want to yuck on someone else's, faith practices, but like this gets into some of the practices of like Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah's Witnesses and some others who refuse blood transfusions or have very strict practices about what medical treatments they're allowed to receive and not allowed to receive. And mm-hmm. I don't want to diminish those because I don't fully understand their belief sure. or what's behind that. So I don't want to sound like I'm belittling that. But at the same time, it just doesn't feel like it lives into the fullness of what God is offering us as far as life in this world. I mean, mm-hmm. life is not the end goal. And so I think we are always trying to maintain a balance that living in this life is not the end goal of our story. The end goal of our story is ultimately death and resurrection, as we talked about last week, right? So I don't think that we need to look to solutions that keep us alive for the sake of being alive. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we are given medical advances that give us the ability to live a more fruitful and more beneficial lives. And if we have something that allows us to give greater glory to God in this life so that others might be drawn into God's glory in this life, I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I think on a slightly less medical and slightly more commonplace perspective, I hear people all the time say, who maybe could benefit from counseling, say, I just need to pray harder, have mm-hmm, more faith, mm-hmm. or I'm just going to go talk to my pastor instead of seeking, mental health counseling perhaps, mm-hmm. or this thing that I'm struggling with, I don't need to seek outside help. Mm-hmm. I just need to pray about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's incredibly pervasive in faith communities.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And it's something that I can say I have experienced in my own life
with right.
battling anxieties or mm-hmm. depressions and seasons, not necessarily clinical, but seasonal mm-hmm. of those things of like, if only my faith was stronger, this right. would not be an issue,
right.
which is an incredible lie and not true in the slightest. And also, we can also acknowledge sometimes this thinking is incredibly hypocritical mm-hmm. and does not bear weight in a lot of things. If you're a person who's saying like, hey, faith over fear, I don't need this vaccine because my help from God, and yet my God-given right is to carry a gun with me wherever I go.
Because I'm afraid somebody's going to try and rob me.
Yeah. That's saying, okay, what do you really trust in? Yeah. Or, we wear seatbelts every day. I have health insurance and car insurance and homeowner's insurance in case of an accident.
Right.
We can admit that. And look, I'm not here to point to other people's hypocrisy when I can say there's plenty on this end of the table, but I do think because this is new, it becomes a little scary for a lot of people. And I think mm-hmm. that's understandable. And all these other things are kind of more commonplace now. I mean, when the seatbelt was invented, it was not welcome with open arms.
No, right.
Yeah. I think we probably could have gone back and looked at the history of a lot of these things, and we probably would have found the religious community standing in some form or another against mm-hmm. much of it. I don't know about all of it, but certainly against much of it throughout history. I think there's always been a resistance on the part of the religious community towards accepting technological advances, right? There was a point where we resisted putting scripture into new languages. We resisted allowing scripture to be printed on the printing press. We resisted, allowing, virtual stuff to mm-hmm. count in the same way that it does in in-person. Like, we've always kind of been resistant to technological advances. I think this is just an offshoot of that in a lot of ways.
I keep meaning to do more of a deep dive into this, but I've been curious to contrast what the reaction to the polio vaccine was when mm-hmm. the polio epidemic was ongoing. Mm-hmm. My grandmother remembers not being allowed to go to Sunday school during polio because there's just too much of a risk there. And my parents remember being vaccinated for it at school. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just lined up and vaccinated. It seems, from what I've heard, that there was not this sort of like pushback or deep distrust against this polio vaccine. So what has changed now?
Yeah, I think there's
access to misinformation.
I think there's a huge social contract that's changed. I don't know about the faith implications in particular. Mm-hmm. I'd be really curious to look into that as well in all of our abundant free time, right?
Right.
But I think it has a lot to do with the social contract. I think, mm-hmm. you know, when you're looking at the polio vaccine, you're looking at a culture that largely said, yeah, we're going to support whatever direction the United States is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're all on board, right? We're going to, yep. World War One, great. We're all going to change our jobs and work extra hours and go on to food rations, whatever, you know, same thing. World War Two, same idea. Like, yep, we're going to go out. We're going to mm-hmm. save Europe and this, that, and the other. And we're all going to be willing to make sacrifices for the good of the entire mm-hmm. country. And I don't know when or how exactly that all shifted. I kind of look back towards, you know, some of the changes that came through 50s, 60s, 70s. I don't, mm-hmm. I'm not a historian, so I can't point right. to something in particular, but I think there's a very different social contract yeah. now.
And I also want to acknowledge, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing that we have a different yeah. social contract. Right. It's not like the United States government in the 20s and 30s was like this peachy keen, beautiful place that was always yeah. doing the right thing. Yeah. I think part of it is we have access to some greater knowledge of, like, you know what? Sometimes, you know, falling in line wasn't always the right thing to do, and we should have done. But how to weigh that and balance mm-hmm. those things out, especially in light of a vaccine that the science community and the majority of our government community is saying, you guys should get this.
Right.
And I think as a church community, myself, I'm saying, we also should get this vaccine. I think it is important. Right. And why deals with love for neighbor and for self in that wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look here at should Christians get vaccinated, and some of these I'm going to kind of like blow through because I don't think that's they're the purpose of this podcast. If that's okay. So they come up with a couple things. And just as a disclaimer, BioLogos is a Bible-believing Christian nonprofit with no financial stake in your vaccination decision.
Cool. That's nice.
Yes.
I, however, have a massive financial
stake. I get a kickback from Moderna, so.
Yeah, and their interest is to help Christians make wise decisions that are both true to our shared faith and based on accurate science. Okay, that's where they're at.
Okay.
All right, so number one, vaccines boost the immune system. This one we're going to kind of power through because that's not the purpose of this thing.
It's science.
And we're also going to say, and this is going to highlight, it's not an either or. Sometimes I've heard, like, you don't need the vaccine, just take vitamin C or whatever. Nope. Like, that's not how this is going to work. That's not the same thing. Boom, let's move on.
All right.
Two, addressing the risk. Mm-hmm. Vaccines are 100% safe, say some. Vaccines are dangerous, say others. Mm-hmm. Who is correct? This is how we're starting this.
Right.
Yeah, and the reality is neither. There are risks associated with any vaccine and the COVID vaccine.
Right.
Yeah.
I think just today or yesterday, news was released that the Johnson & Johnson mm-hmm. vaccine does have some blood clotting risks attached to it.
Similar to the, AstraZeneca? Is that the one that was in Europe that was going through the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is out of something like 200 million. We're talking single digits.
Yeah.
So it's an incredibly low risk. That doesn't mean there's no risk, though.
Right.
The Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine do have risks attached mm-hmm. to them. We can acknowledge that. So what do we do with that? There is a risk. How do you make your best decision when it comes to vaccines or any medical procedure?
Yeah, I guess one of the high points of this changing social contract that we talked about is the ability and the access to information to make rational, compassionate decisions, right? This decision is not being made for you. The key is that you have to make a rational, compassionate mm-hmm. decision.
Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, vaccines require a high level of testing and mm-hmm. understanding what's going on. And the COVID vaccine does seem very, very quick, but that doesn't mean MMR vaccines are new.
Yeah. Right. They've been doing this type of research for almost a decade.
Right. From it was able to piggyback off of mm-hmm. earlier research. Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the diseases for measles and mumps, you know, you get that vaccine, you're 97% likely to never develop measles in your life, which could be a life-threatening disease.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk of an allergic reaction to that vaccine is less than 1 in 1,000,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is saying there is a risk. We cannot say that there's not, But the risk seems worth it, right? Like, you take that one in a million chance you don't have an allergic reaction, saying, like, but then I have a high chance of I'll never get a life-threatening disease.
Well, anytime you put something inside of your body, there is a risk. There's an inherent risk there. You're introducing a foreign something or another into your body, whether that's something you eat, something that you inject into yourself, whatever it is, there's inherent risk associated with that.
Yeah. I think a piece of this is we want to bring this back to faith, too, right? I mean, what is my ultimate goal? Is my ultimate goal to preserve my own life at all costs, or is my ultimate goal to live into the reality of death and resurrection that allows me to care for others in this world? And if I'm living into the death and resurrection, then the risks are really not that scary to me, because even if I die from this vaccine, I know that God's got me covered, right? That the resurrection is true, even if this ends in death. That does not end in death, right? That's never the end of the story. And so I think we need to allow our faith to point us towards places and say, these risks are not significant in comparison to what God's redemptive power is going to do for us. But the opportunity to love our neighbor and to care for our world in that sense is huge.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, probably the most interesting part of this article that I think we're going to maybe spend some time on. Vaccine production and Christian ethics. Because I've seen this. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have seen some hesitancy for this vaccine because it has some connection to abortion.
I think only the Johnson & Johnson ones that I've heard, at least the pieces that I've been hearing and reading, have only pointed towards the Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm like on a ethical superiority ground because I got a different one, but that's just what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
But I am.
For other reasons, not for that.
Yeah. So this is, I'm sure for many Christians, a major question, especially if you're a Christian who would be, consider yourself anti-abortionist, pro-life, whatever you want to label that, you know, this could be a very big deal or a very big hurdle. So, you know, how do we address this, Christians that are concerned that the presence of aborted fetal tissue is in these vaccines or led to a vaccine?
Yeah. Mm. It's a hard question. I think it's a hard thing for me to be in the place of, because I, while not being pro-abortion, I want to be clear about that. I'm not in the same stance that most of the, quote, pro-life camp would find themselves to be in. So it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes from that perspective, because I don't see this in the same way. I mean, because in one sense, I don't know exactly the history of the cellular material that was being used, right? Were these fetuses that were aborted out of life-saving measures, or were these fetuses that were aborted out of, oh, this is inconvenient? Like, I don't know the story that was here, and so the ethics there get a whole lot.
And I don't think they know the story.
Yeah. I'm not implying that they do. Yeah. I think that it matters more to me what the story is than it matters to them.
Right.
Sure.
I'm not sure that you can ever know to that degree once it's so far removed you. Like, I'm not sure that you can really control for those ethical decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, I think... Your bigger ethical decision is going to be, do I get the potentially life-saving vaccine or not at that point, once it makes its way to you?
But, I mean, we're making ethical decisions about, you know, which companies that we want to use all the time based on how they have labor practices that in no way affect me and that I may or may not even be able to fully trace, right? Or, you know, am I going to choose a business that I think uses... you know, some chemical in some other part of the world that I'm never going to see and never going to experience that may or may not affect some insect that may have, I don't know, like, you know, we make those kind of far removed ethical decisions all the time. I think this is just one that they're placing more value on than I'm placing, if that makes
sense. Right. I guess my point is that part of being human is you're going to cause harm at some point. You're going to participate in harm. That's just part of the world that we live in.
Same manner.
I'm not saying that should be a free for all for it does not matter what kind of ethical decisions I make.
Do whatever I want.
Right. But anytime that you receive any sort of medical treatment, something sketchy has happened somewhere down the line to bring that medical treatment to you.
Right. I mean, because we can trace this back all the way through the history of medicine, where lots of sketchy stuff has taken place. Like, that now we look at it and we're like, that's incredibly unethical, but also we learned a whole lot from it. And so now we benefit from those.
Yeah, steps. Anytime you have surgery, you benefit from conscious patients or conscious prisoners being held down and cut open alive. Yep. So there's that.
Yeah, but I do want to say, I think for our Christian brothers and sisters who do see this as a moral obstacle, I don't say, I get it. I want to say, I do understand. I think that is reasonable from your personal position. I don't necessarily think that can or should lead you to, I will not get the vaccine, but right. I do want to acknowledge, I understand the position. I don't want us to just be like, just dismiss that outright. Yeah.
And I think, I haven't been following this that closely, but I think a lot of Catholic bishops who, you know, the Catholic Church obviously has a very clear stance on abortion.
Right.
Yes. The Catholic Church has in a lot of places said, like, look, you know, the preference is to get a vaccine that doesn't involve this, but if this is what's available, get the vaccine.
Right.
Like, the Catholic Church has said, like, the vaccine is more important than this.
Right.
If you have a choice, do something else, but get the vaccine.
Yeah, it's a reasonable thing to be bothered by or be concerned about, but it seems to me like a more useful avenue for that concern is to get involved with organizations or lobbying that changes the practice of how, you know, fetal tissue is used to begin with.
Yeah,
absolutely. And just so we say, just so I think we're clear based on the science here, it's not like we're taking aborted fetuses, using them to create a vaccine. That's
right.
Not the way this works. This is a fetus or fetuses that were aborted in the 70s or 80s. They use them to create cell lines that continue to this day. The actual tissue that was aborted is complete, is long gone.
Yep.
So that's the, it does not, the vaccine does not contain human tissue from an abortion, but it created a cell line that they used to test and understand how this is going to work.
I guess another ethical quandary to this is
there's a lot of them.
Right. Is it more ethical to make use for benefit of the common good of the tissue that you have or just dispose of it at that point?
Absolutely. And we can also say, and I think you mentioned this, Elise, like, our medical practices are based on a long history.
Terrible, no good, very bad things.
and even we look at, you know, what the Nazis did, and very real and awful human experimentation led to things that we utilize on a daily basis, to how planes fly, to how our cell phones work, to medical practices.
Yeah, I said this earlier. My skin, I use retinol on my skin, and that was developed by testing it on specifically black prisoners in the 70s, I believe, that, you know, resulted in all kinds of horrible permanent damage.
Yeah.
But most people use some type of retinol on their skin. It's,
and
you
look great, by the way. So.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the hype.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yeah. And, you know,
we can end now. At least
so we can say, I get it. I think this is complex.
Yeah.
For me personally, I do think it, in this instance, I can't say in every instance, in this instance, I think where we are now, taking the vaccine is not mean I support or not support abortion.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think it is removed enough that it does not have a weight there.
This becomes a very different situation to me if it's like drug companies are paying women to have abortions to have access to tissue or something like
that.
Yeah,
sure.
That becomes tremendously
problematic.
Different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all right. And then lastly, the vaccines help us love and protect one another. All right, what do we think here?
It's a happy thought.
Yeah. I like this one the most because this is actually something that I learned about vaccines a couple years ago when
before it was cool.
Yeah, I knew about vaccines before. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast back, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and it was about the flu vaccine at the time and, you know, the value of getting the flu vaccine and the real value in people like myself at the time who were young and considered low risk for flu or low risk for severe reactions to the flu. The value of us getting the vaccine was not that we would be protected from the dangers of the vaccine, but that we would prevent the transmission of the flu to others who would be at risk. And so since that time, you know, I've really seen vaccines as, you know, part of this ability to love our neighbor and to care for those around us. Because it's not always about protecting ourselves. Because like we said before, we don't have to protect ourselves because God is taking care of that. And so it's not out of fear that I get a vaccine. It's not out of fear that I choose to wear a mask. It's not out of fear that I do any of these things. It's out of protecting the greater good of our society in which we live so that other people have an opportunity to encounter the love of Christ through my actions. And so if my getting the vaccine allows one person to say, wow, this love of Jesus is a real thing that really makes people live in a certain way, like, okay, that's all worth it. I mean, that's fine. Even if I die from the vaccine, if one person comes and, you know, knows Jesus because of it, done.
He's feeling fine after his second dose, by the way.
I am. I'm feeling
just
great.
Just in case there's concerns.
I'm feeling great.
I think we're acknowledging.
Do I not sound as energetic as I normally do?
Yeah,
my hands not moving as much.
I'm real sick in the mud today.
I think we can acknowledge right now, we're not really quite sure what percentage of the population needs to be vaccinated from coronavirus to achieve a herd immunity or an umbrella immunity. Because it's different for every disease. Measles needs 93-95% of the community. Some need a lot less. So we're not quite sure what we need to get to. But if I can weigh the risks and say the risks to me are pretty small to get a vaccine. And so by me getting it, it helps protect those that can't.
Right. Because there are people who have legitimate medical reasons to not get a vaccine.
Right.
Yes. And I need to get it so that they can be protected because they are in that percentage that will never be able to.
That's how that works.
And so I think that
that's math.
That this does, help provide that umbrella to cover those that can't.
Yeah.
And not just those that won't, but those that are really have very real real questions about this, or very real obstacles in their way.
Mm-hmm.
I think in light of this, we definitely, and this is how the article ends, look, we want to praise God for our bodily immune system and how the human body works. This is really a miracle in many ways.
Like, it's pretty cool.
How we combat disease is incredible. And we also want to praise God for the work, a life-saving work of the medical community that's happening daily around us. Both those things are awesome. Both those things are from God. Both those things are faith-based responses to what's going on in our world. And they're not in competition with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And getting, I think, vaccinated against this disease is a celebration of both.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully our listeners do too. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Yeah. Let us know.
If you don't, let us know for sure. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your reasons. Yeah. We want to know what's going on.
Sure. All right. That's all I have here. That's the end of our logo. Oh, bio logos.
That was the end?
That was the end.
The end.
Right,
bye. I said it. Hey, if you liked what you heard today, or if you're standing in line to get your vaccine right now, just put it on speakerphone so that all those around you who are socially distanced can also benefit from the dulcet tones of Beyond Sunday Podcast. You can, of course, find this episode and all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com or wherever you find your podcast. And we would love to hear from you, whether you're getting your vaccine or not, or whatever you want to tell us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.